listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Brett Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and PJ Branduardi from the Diocese of Columbus. Welcome, brothers.
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
Doing well. So today we are going to be talking about kind of the modern day role models and how there's apparently been a shift at one point in history from really imitating the lives of the saints to now you're really focusing on, well, really less than virtuous people and sports athletes and celebrities. But before we dive into that, PJ, if you'll open us in a prayer.
Yes, I'd like to open in a prayer to one of my favorite saints, who is both a he's not a saint yet, he's a blessed, but he will be a saint soon, God willing, and he's also an athlete. You know him, you love him, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, give me the courage to strive for the highest goals, to flee every temptation to be mediocre. Enable me to aspire to greatness, as Pier Giorgio did. And open my heart with joy to your call to holiness. Free me from the fear of failure. I want to be, Lord, firmly and forever united to you. Grant me the graces I ask you through Pier Giorgio's intercession and by the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, PJ. So as we said, we're going to be talking a little bit about who we should imitate versus who we currently actually are imitating and aspiring to be and look up to and all those fun words. And really one of the things that I was reflecting upon thinking about this topic, there, I don't know when it happened, but there seemed to be a drastic shift in something as simple as children's names. You think about it, Paul Joseph Brandomarty, Britt Alexander Taylor. I know Britt's not really, but it's actually for St. Bridget. So I was supposed to be a girl, little known fact. My parents really wanted a girl, but my mom was like, no more after me. I guess I was a handful. Love you, Mom.
I'm going to hold back on the jokes.
I was just going to say the same thing.
I was going to say, yeah, you both had the look in your eyes.
My face
yeah.
betrayed me.
And then Alfonso for the
Saint Alphonsus, patron saint of moral theologians,
which is very fitting for
and,
you.
Very fitting. And his mother's name is Anna Maria, and my mom's name
oh,
is
really?
Anna Maria. Yeah.
Well, look at
it's
that.
Pretty awesome.
So, yeah, now, I mean, obviously all of us have, I mean, we were taking after saints' names, but how many children today are named after, the new thing that's happening is, like, book characters, like, you've got Katniss from Whatchamacallit, and...
I was at a baptism for Bella, and
yeah.
It was specifically, like, it was, it, the priest specifically did not ask, because he didn't want to know, and it was freely offered, oh, this is because of the, whatever that... The werewolf monster book.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, these
Twilight,
stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking about celebrities, and celebrities are becoming notorious for...
Their names are child like Apple.
Well, so like, for example, Beyonce, she named her daughter Blue. Blue Ivy or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also like...
Kanye West name is...
North.
Yeah, like Northwest.
That's
yeah.
it. And so it's like, what... You know, there's something really significant about a name. And
right.
Because in a certain... I always hear people say, well, the name kind of describes a personality or what they should live up to. But with a name like North, you know, or Blue, that's kind of melancholic.
Right. And so, I mean, what does this child go through their life really aspiring to be?
Sure.
I mean, we all have our... It's kind of our patron saint. And I believe some cultures, they don't celebrate your birthday. It's actually your name day where
right.
it's your saint's feast day. Mm-hmm. That was the tradition.
Or you would be given... If say you were born on September 16th, like I was, I should have been given Saint Cornelius instead of Alfonso.
Oh, I would have been Teresa. Ooh,
Mother Teresa is Teresa.
Mother Teresa, September 5th.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's
yeah.
no September 10th saint on the general Roman calendar.
Well, there we go,
PG. But I think your name is very fitting for your personality,
oh,
your
absolutely.
Temperament, because as we're learning about Saint Paul, and I just can't stop to think, wow, this is PJ.
Hey, Paul, you're gonna what happens if the Council of Jerusalem doesn't rule in your favor?
Oh, they're gonna rule in my favor.
Yeah.
I know, but what if they don't? Oh, they're going to. No, what if they don't? They're going to. Oh my gosh.
So, but yeah, so the names really gave you this kind of focal point to really lead you ultimately to Christ, who our life comes from, and we're contingent and reliant upon him for our very lives. So why not name your children after a saint that's going to give them to something to aspire to be like?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now you see this shift, and especially I grew up, I love watching sports. I don't think I have to tell either of you that.
Really? You do?
Yeah. I mean, sports are hands down. There's not many. In fact, when I was in college, I tried each year to find a new professional sport to like find a following and really watch. And that got a little too cumbersome, and I had little time for homework, so because I was watching so many sports. But how many people are growing up today and seeing LeBron James and, oh, I want to be like that, or seeing Aaron Judge for the Yankees, or seeing whoever, Cristiano Ronaldo, all these different famous...
Sidney Crosby
for the hockey. I mean, all of these people who are just making so much money, and that's what kids see today and are like, oh, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to grow up to be like. Rather than living up to the moral patron saint of moral theologians, which I still don't know how many people might live up to that one, but Saint Paul, who wants to fight everyone, like our brother Paul over here,
everyone wants to be like Saint Alphonsus.
But the sad part is there are so many athletes out there who are great people,
right?
What's
the NFL? The Walter Payton Award.
Yeah. So you have my personal favorite, Alejandro Villanueva. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is first of all, he's not a native citizen of America. He became a citizen. He was born in, he's half and half. He has half citizenship. He was born in Spain, went to West Point, served his country, served two tours in Iraq, won the Bronze Star with V for, combat heroism, retired as a lieutenant, playing in the NFL, specifically on a he took the Steelers job on the practice squad, and he chose to stay with the Steelers because it's a pretty Catholic city. He's able to go to daily mass.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to raise his family. He doesn't care about football. He's using it as a means to an end. He's going to school at Carnegie Mellon University School of Business. So guys like that who are good family men who are fixtures at church, San Diego Chargers,
Philip Rivers.
Yeah, Philip Rivers. That guy's amazing.
Went to NC State,
but I mean, he's just by all accounts, he lives both a public and a private life that is completely fitting that of a Catholic gentleman and father.
Yeah.
But no one seems to care about them because they aren't making it in the headlines. Doing all this crazy stuff, and even when they are successful, they're a blip on the radar because they aren't, you know, out there tearing it up.
Right. You're listening to the Seminarian Show on Saint Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at saintgabrielradio.com. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are my Diocesan brother Alfonso Gomez and PJ Brandamarty from the Diocese of Columbus.
Hello.
And so we're talking about kind of once more the who our children, or not our children, but who children and young people this day.
Freudian slip there.
But who people are looking up to this day rather than, I mean, really who the church and who God ultimately gives us as these role models that we should be living up to, the saints.
Yeah.
So, and PJ was mentioning, I mean, even within the realm of athletes, there's still these great Catholic examples, but for some reason, they're not the ones that...
They're the exception.
Yeah, they're the exception, and they're still not the ones that are looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
Alfonso, you were going to say something before.
Yeah, I mean, I always found it really significant, the example that Tim Tebow brought on the platform.
Right.
Especially with issues of chastity. You know, because he came out very publicly saying that, you know, he was... practicing chastity, he was waiting until marriage, and
mm-hmm.
and so I think that's so countercultural today. And I think
he was ridiculed mercilessly for it.
Right.
Right. And I think I think for the youth to be able to hear that, to say that, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to follow along with everyone else. You can live counterculturally. I think that's awesome. That's what a role model should do.
Wasn't it a couple years ago, I think he and his mom were going to do a Super Bowl ad, either for chastity or against abortion. I can't remember exactly what, but, and they refused to air the ad. The money was paid. Everything was great. The network looked at it and said, we aren't airing this.
Mm-hmm. So that leads me to another question. How much does the media play a factor into this shift? Because these are the people that are being promoted. You see, Tim Tebow would always kneel down and pray, and he was ridiculed on the field. Mm-hmm. Now you've got protests where people are kneeling down during the national anthem or different things, and
they're calling it heroic.
It's the exact same physical motion.
So how much do you think the media plays a role in this? And if so, what do you think really is, or what role have they played?
The media is like every capitalist enterprise. It's self-serving. It's there to expand itself, which is not necessarily a bad thing. The advent of advancements in media there are a lot of great benefits. We're able to educate and share ideas faster than ever before. From the Catholic perspective, we had a conference just last night about this with an archbishop who was sharing that modern media allows us to share the gospel faster and more effectively than we ever have been able to ever.
I mean, think about how many – they're not really like celebrity priests, but there's some really solid priests on Twitter who are tweeting out great things on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And email, there's different emails you can sign up for that you're able to hear these homilies and get these newsletters from priests that you would never be able to encounter.
That's right.
I mean, priests from D.C., priests from across the country. YouTube's a great way to watch. Yeah. There's some great videos on there that really talk about...
Yeah, Ascension Press. Like Father Mike Schmitz, he has great material every week.
The Bible Project.
Census Fidelium.
And Scripture.
There's a YouTube Census Fidelium where they're going through, and it's just good, solid Catholic. Formed is another one where...
Formed is amazing.
Great, solid Catholic material, and it shows the benefits of what the media can really do. But instead, the secular media is building up characters and these... This is what you want. You want to be LeBron James. You want to have 27 cars, and you want to, ignore that God thing. Yeah, you want everything you can do.
Whereas 70 years ago, the number one rated TV show was a Catholic bishop talking about the faith.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's so sad because I think the media is trying to tell the youth, like, this is what, we want you guys to be the freest you want to be, the most liberal you want to be, but at the same time, they're saying, but you have to look exactly like this. And you can go to the mall or you can go to the park or any other like social place, and you see these kids all dressing the exact same way.
I went to dinner at the mall the other night, and I was scandalized with some of the things I saw.
Yeah.
I was like, these people are 13 to 15. I don't know how old they are, but just some of the things they were wearing. I was like, oh my gosh.
And so it's not really promoting their own creativity or their own identity. It's kind of like imposing this, you need to fit this mold. And so it's really having the opposite effect. But like we were saying, I think with exceptional role models, and especially those of the saints, we see people who found their identity in Christ and are very, very unique, and we're able to grow in that.
What do you mean by that? Expand on that.
So for example, I mean, like Mother Teresa has a specific charism to work with the poor, and she was created by God to do that, and she found her vocation and for fulfillment in that. Now I'm Alfonso Gomez, and
from
the Diocese of Charlotte, by the way, and I haven't been called to do that, but I'm called to do something else in the Diocese of Charlotte, and so my way of sanctity, my identity in Christ, is to do this, and that's how I'll flourish and I'll become more myself. Yesterday I gave a homily. Not a real homily, but in our
in class, no impediments.
And I brought up this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's from the Screwtape Letters, which is a great book. And if you don't like reading, you can listen to the audiobook. That's what I did.
Thank you.
You didn't have to say that. That's what you did. But
anyways, there's this one line in the book about the Screwtape he's telling his nephew. about the clamor of self-will, that we have this fear of denying something of our will. But when we actually do that, God doesn't take away our personality or our individuality. He gives it back to us in a more fuller way. So mm-hmm. we become more of ourselves. And I think in our culture, if we can just, if we can recognize that and trust in the Lord, and give our wills over to Him, we actually become more of ourselves than these kind of like mainstream robots that we see today, like walking around on their phones and not really paying attention to their environment. But anyways, that's my rant.
Well, no, you're that's a beautiful way of saying it, that you're actually more revealed and more fully yourself when you surrender to God, which yeah. seems contrary. And I think St. Augustine had some similar philosophy about that, where basically freedom of the will is to, you're free to conform with God's will, and that's mm-hmm. what we should strive to do, and that's ultimately what the saints did.
Well, and that's the beauty of this wide variety of saints who are out there.
There's so many to choose from.
There is nothing about me and Mother Teresa in common, except that we both we're both fond of Jesus.
That might be the truest thing we've ever said on this radio show.
I am neither meek nor lowly. I'm a big dude. I'm loud.
No, you're both pretty soft-spoken, I would say.
I would say so, yeah. It's funny, we get through homily class and we go through all the things like, oh, did PJ do this? Did PJ deliver the homily effectively? He's like, well, you're always loud enough, so
yeah.
So you can just check that.
Could
one
you
off.
Hear him at all times?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, so. I speaking of homilies, there's one homily that I always thought has been the most interesting homily I've heard at seminary, and it was one from Father Murphy. I think we were in T1 when he gave this homily, and it was the Feast of St. Agatha, and which fell on a Saturday that year. And
I barely remember today's homily.
And he mentioned the Kardashians, which is why.
Okay, yeah, no, I do remember.
I remember this one.
Because he was talking about like how we idolize, you know, we have this show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. He's like, do you keep up with the Kardashians? and just to hear Father Murphy's know their names, because he was rattling off all their names.
Yeah, I didn't even know the names.
During their homily was pretty, I was like, well, I guess you do, Father.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was saying that we idolize these people who are famous for just being famous. And there's someone like St. Agatha who is, you know, actually a pretty virtuous and awesome woman.
Gave up their life at such a young age.
Right.
And, I mean, imagine being that age, being a teenager and willing to literally mm-hmm. give your life, spill your blood for your belief in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Whereas now you're holding up people like the Kardashians.
For doing what?
And exactly.
And
yes.
For shopping.
For shopping yeah. and, yeah, so and speaking on TV. But anyways, the St. Agatha, you know, she has actually accomplished much and has loved much. And so it seems almost easier to aspire to be like the Kardashians or to anybody of that.
So do you think that's maybe why we do it?
I think so, because it's not a challenge. There's this kind of like fear of a challenge. And I think, well, when you ask people who go into religious life or to enter a vocation of the mm-hmm. priesthood, it's because they want to be countercultural. They want a challenge. They want to aspire something greater than themselves, and I think that's what our culture needs.
I always, whenever I have a bad day, I just look up and I just go, Lord, why couldn't you just made me happy selling cell phones? I was really good at it, made a lot of money doing it, had a lot of fun, and then I think about it. I'm like, oh, that's right, because I didn't fulfill me at all.
Yeah,
so.
What are some of the things that we can do to kind of change this way to where we can get back to this thinking? Because obviously I think we're all in agreement based on what we're saying that this is a much better way of living, to emulate the saints rather than Kim Kardashian or even like your favorite athlete. But what are some practical things that we can now turn and be countercultural on these things?
I think the first thing we need to do is educate ourselves on who the saints were. The saints were not people removed from society, removed from reality. We look at these saints and we say, oh, look, they're so holy, they could never be like me. No, the whole point is these were people just like you mm-hmm. who answered in their lives what God was calling them to. Yes,
a great number of the saints are religious, professed religious or priests. But there are a ton of saints who are just normal, everyday people. People like the saint we prayed to, or the blessed we prayed to at the beginning of the show, Pier Giorgio. Mm-hmm. This was a young kid, young guy who liked to work out, liked to hang out with his friends, liked to go play sports. And after he was done doing that, he liked to bring people to church, and he liked to share his money with the poor and just be a solid example. That's it. That's how you be a saint. I'm sitting here waving my arms around, and like I was saying earlier, we have this idea that saints are Mother Teresa, meek and mild and lowly, but there's a whole number of saints who, if you find God in the moments where you can commune in silence and pray, by all means emulate Mother Teresa. I have a ton of difficulty with that, and I'm really comforted by so many of these great saints like
Jerome,
Saint Jerome, and Saint Nicholas, and Saint Paul, who were out there screaming at the top of their lungs.
Yeah, Jerome and Augustine,
the praises of God. Yeah.
That was pretty interesting to find out that Jerome actually had a lot of fraternal issues, you know, just to put it best.
I forgot who put it, but basically, to put it politely, was a prickly personality.
Prickly, yes. Yeah. I think that's what Dr. Cajal said that
in
class.
Yeah, so it was kind of, he wasn't the easiest to get along with.
Or also like Saint Bonaventure and Saint Thomas, they used to go at it in Paris, you know, at the School of Paris. When they would debate, apparently it got really heated.
Right,
it almost
Thomas
got to Fight Club levels.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah. But and I really like what you were saying about you don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be this religious. I don't know if they're canonized yet, and maybe one of you guys can speak about this. But the first married couple that they're actually being canonized together, Saint Therese of Lisieux, her parents are being canonized together. Or were? So yes, they are canonized. I heard that at some point. I forgot when they were, but they're actually canonized together because of the witness they gave, and then they had a saint as a daughter, where they're going and raising their daughter and giving that witness of their married life, just, and ultimately led to their salvation. And I think that's one of the big things that we can do in today's society is it starts at home. Mm-hmm. If the parents are living a good life, then it's going to reflect and emulate the children. Mm. Not saying if your children are into the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you're a bad parent or anything, but it really, you have to lead by example. I remember my father taught me one of the greatest things I've ever learned about leadership is lead from the moral high ground. And if you are telling someone to do something and you yourself aren't doing it, mm-hmm. then you have no foothold. You can't say, you need to be going to church on Sunday when you're not. And you need to be stop doing that because it's bad. And I'm going to take the low road over here, and I'm going to keep doing these backhand deals and things.
Well, that's the whole reason I'm back in the church is because my friend asked me to be his confirmation sponsor. I wasn't going to church, and I said yes, and was like, "Well, I best I get it.
Yeah,
I guess I best go to church every once in a while." And had I known it would have led to the priesthood, I might have changed my tune back in the day, but I couldn't be happier. I love this. This is the perfect outlet for my personality.
What you were telling me just reminded me of a quote from St. Francis that said, if you want to sanctify the world, you need to sanctify yourself. And so it really starts from the interior of your heart. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually go out and kind of, you know, be a light, be a radiance of Christ to other people around you.
Right. And so this really turns into your everyday actions need to be sanctified, which we were reading in Ecclesiology, blanking on the document, Lumen Gentium?
I think so.
Yeah, Lumen Gentium, we're talking about the role of the laity, and they're supposed to be sanctifying the world by the sacrifice of their lives. Mm-hmm. Everything that they're doing, and it's, to be honest, it's actually a little bit harder at times, in my opinion, to be a lay person, where everything you're supposed to be doing is giving glory to God. It's much easier for the priest who is immersed in
right.
it so much.
Yeah.
Whereas you've got bills, I've got to take the kids to soccer practice, I've got to go home, cook this dinner, I've got to clean the house, oh my gosh, she's got a ballet recital now. You've got all these things, and it's so much harder to keep God at the forefront and the focus of your life. Whereas for the priests and religious, especially the religious, we kind of have it easy where, especially in seminary, mandated 6:45, we're supposed to be in the chapel doing morning prayer, then we're doing mass right after that. 4:45, we've got a holy hour. Our life is very much structured where if you don't realize Christ is the center of your life in seminary, then well, you're just not going to seminary at that point.
Yeah.
Whereas the laity don't have that privilege.
Yeah, that's true.
And so really taking that one step further and purposely trying to find ways to sanctify these activities. I know one of the easiest examples, again, going back to my love for sports, I think sports is a great way to evangelize children. Using it, yeah, it could be a great daytime activity, which, to be honest with my personality, I think my parents were using that a little bit, dropping me off at the golf course to say, all right, just go away for a while. But
go golf.
Can, yeah. You can really, if you're purposely making this a sanctifying thing, develop perseverance, develop fortitude, develop diligence, discipline, all these things in through your sports, which then can in turn really reflect and inform your prayer life. Because if I'm disciplined in this, well, then I'm becoming more disciplined in everything, which ultimately should lead to being more disciplined and a better, well-rounded person. So it's not just an activity to kind of kill time. Everything we should do, especially as laity, as we were saying from the documents, should be to glorify God and to really sacrifice ourselves so that we can grow closer to Him. And with that, if Alfonso, if you'll close us in prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, You call each of us by our own name. Lord, please lead us to the plan that You have in mind for us, that we may flourish and be fulfilled in our identity in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thanks, and have a blessed day.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Son.